for that. It's great to be here. Good morning. I'm going to introduce myself and my friends here. I'm Leonard. I go to this church. I've gone here my whole life. This is Michael and Will and Austin and Neil. Please just welcome them. Please welcome them. Yeah. Make them feel welcome. All right, you guys can take your seats. That'd be great. So, you're making me nervous. As many of you guys know, a couple weeks ago, us five guys were at a Timothy encounter. And let me just explain to you what that is. What it is, it was like a 5-day week thing where we like got together, 30 guys, and like we competed and we like prayed and like worshiped and we learned. And it was definitely like wisdom imparted to us. And it was really valuable. And like, as you can imagine, like tempers were flaring at many times and there was a lot of competition. There was fierce competition. And there was a lot of savagery that just ensued because of that, if you can imagine. But that wasn't like the main focus of the camp. The main focus was for us men to come, become closer with Jesus and to learn what Christianity is all about and to be risen up as leaders in our churches and stuff. And so this is a great chance for us to lead and to bring back a bit of what we learned. So, just trying to find myself here. The Bible talks a lot about war. And sometimes it's hard to understand exactly what the Bible means when it talks about war. Like, what does that mean? I'm like, does it mean like we're going out and like killing people? Or like, are we like, what are we doing, right? It's confusing. And sometimes it just seems like war is just on the defense. Like, we hear about the armor of God and we think, well, war is just about the defense, and it doesn't really, I don't really know what it means to attack. Like, what does it mean to attack? What does it mean to take ground? And we're going to do our best to tell you guys about what that means and what we learned about it. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The battle is about waging war. But before we can engage in battle, we need to be prepared. We need to know what we're fighting, and we need to know how to fight, and we need to be changed from the inside out. So my question to you guys is, my charge to you is, are we ready to be changed? Will you let God in and change the way that you think? If the answer of either of these questions is yes, I want you guys all to stand with me right now and we're going to pray together. So guys, just please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I am ready to be changed.
I want to engage in battle.
Please change me from the inside out so that I can wage war on the enemy. I want to hear from you today. I want to be equipped for battle. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So the title of today's sermon, for those of you taking notes, it's a long title. So listen carefully. It's this: The King of Glory has to change us from the inside out for us to wage war on the enemy. I'll repeat that. The King of Glory has to change us from the inside out for us to wage war on the enemy. So waging war is not just about defending, as I said, against the attacks of the enemy. It's about seeing the world around us changed. It's about seeing this neighborhood change. It's about seeing our friends changed. And it's about seeing Canada changed. When we were on the at the trip, there was a lot of focus on talking about seeing Canada change and being Canadians for Canada. Canadians who are going to stand up for Canada and not just sit back and let Canada be taken over by the world, but be Canadians who stand up and declare Jesus' name for Canada. So, part A. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, our sin has been washed away, and we have been redeemed through his blood. Ephesians 1 talks about our redemption. I'll just read that to you. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So, from that, I got 3 points. And these are useful points for being changed from the inside out so that we can wage war on the enemy. So the first point that I got from that is that we are adopted as children. In Jeremiah it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God has a plan for each of our lives. Before we were even born, God had a plan for our lives. Before we were even born or even knew anything, before we were even born, I'll say it again. God had a plan for our lives. He knows you. He knows each one of you. He knows me. Before I was born, God had a plan for my life. That's exciting. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Not only does God have a plan for us, he has a good plan for us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He has a good plan. I'm getting into this. Yes. So he loves us. God loves us. He has a good plan for us. And he wants to enter into an intimate relationship with us. My second point. We are cleansed from our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin. It's not like he just died for like the lying and like the stealing. It's like he died for every sin. Every single sin. Which is pretty awesome. Like sometimes I find it hard to like sort of comprehend that because I'm like, well, yeah, like God's pretty good and like he died for my sins and like, yeah, so I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to worry about stuff. But like it's pretty awesome if you really dwell on it. So at this weekend, we had this chance to really dwell on like God's forgiveness of our sins. And so what we did is we like, where's that board? Sweet. Okay. It's a very simple prop, but I'll get to it. We had this chance to go through. We had these like this paper, this like book of like sins, basically. And we had to like go through and like spend some time and like check off every single thing that we had like every single thing. And I was just like hating it so much. I was just like checking things off and like crouching away and just being like, nobody look at this, like, I'm so bad, and like, just feeling terrible. And so I was just like, imagine this board is my sin. Like, I was actually going to write sin on it, but I just couldn't find a felt pen and ran out of time, you know. So just use your imagination. It's like, sin, it says it, but just imagine. So like, if this was like the sin that I wrote down on that paper, I was like trying to hide it. I was just like, oh, like, nobody look at this. Like I, like, hid it in my Bible. Like, I was just like, oh, like, nobody even look at this because it's so bad. Like, if anybody sees this, they're going to be like, oh, that guy is bad. Like, that guy is terrible. And I was just, like, feeling like that the whole day. And, like, we knew that, like, at the end of the day, we're going to get a chance to, like, burn it and, like, get rid of these things. But I was just like, oh, like, can we just burn this thing right now? Like, it was terrible. And at the end of the day, we had like a meeting and we got a chance to like claim forgiveness. Because it's true, every sin was paid for on the cross. Every single sin was paid for on the cross. And so we got a chance to like claim forgiveness and thank God
for his forgiveness for every single sin. And so Jordan, where's Jordan? Jordan, I'm going to get you to come up and just help me with something. It's going to be awesome. What's that? Yeah, we're going to... Jordan, I want you to confess all of your sins. Right into the microphone. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I was just joking. Really. But just confess the worst one. No, I was just kidding. I was just joking again. Actually, Jordan, I need you to go out to that back door and get the large piece of wood that I brought in. This massive thing. I'm going to continue to speak. So, when we went through the list, I had this like list and I was just like, okay, like I'm going to claim forgiveness for every single sin. So I was just like going through and like, believe me, there was a lot of check marks. A lot. And I was just going through and I was just like, I like would draw a cross on every single one. So I'd be like, I claim your forgiveness for this sin. Thank you, Lord. Or thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. And, like every single time. And it got repetitive because I did it so many times. But it was so good. Actually, I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And I know people say that, but I never really felt like that in my life before. So, we're going to like do a little exercise right now. We're going to take like 30 seconds to a minute. And we're just going to commit our sins. We're going to say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. And while we do that, Jordan is going to nail sin to this cross. So Jordan, nail sin to the cross. So let's just take a minute and silently examine our hearts and say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. And I thank you that you took care of all my sin and that you nailed it to the cross. It was nailed to the cross. Let's just take a minute to go ahead. That's sin. Yeah. You can put it on the ground if you want. Couldn't find a felt pen and ran out of time, you know. So just use your imagination. It's like sin. It says it. Let's just imagine. So like, if this was like the sin that I wrote down on that paper, I was like trying to hide it. I was just like, oh, like nobody look at this. Like I like hid it in my Bible. Like I was just like, oh, like nobody even look at this because it's so bad. Like if anybody sees this, they're gonna be like, oh, that guy is bad. Like, that guy is terrible. And I was just like feeling like that the whole day. And like we knew that like at the end of the day we're gonna get a chance to like burn it and like get rid of these things, but I was just like, oh, like can we just burn this thing right now? Like it was terrible. And at the end of the day, yeah, so at the end of the day we had like a meeting and we got a chance to like claim forgiveness. Because it's true. Every sin was paid for on the cross. Every single sin was paid for on the cross. And so we got a chance to like claim forgiveness and thank God for his forgiveness for every single sin. And so Jordan, where's Jordan? Jordan, I'm going to get you to come up and just help me with something. It's going to be awesome. What's that? Yeah, Jordan, I want you to confess all of your sins. Right into the microphone. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I was just joking. Really. But just confess the worst one. No, I was just kidding. I was just joking again. Actually, Jordan, I need you to go out to that back door and get the large piece of wood that I brought in. This massive thing. I'm going to continue to speak. So, when we went through the list, I had this like list and I was just like, okay, like I'm going to claim forgiveness for every single sin. So I was just like going through and like, believe me, there was a lot of check marks, a lot. And I was just going through and I was just like,
I like would draw a cross in every single one. So I'd be like, I claim your forgiveness for this sin. Thank you, Lord. Or thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Like every single time. And it got repetitive because I did it so many times. But it was so good. Actually, I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And I know people say that, but I never really felt like that in my life before. So we're going to like do a little exercise right now. We're going to take like 30 seconds to a minute. And we're just going to commit our sins. We're going to say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. And while we do that, Jordan is going to nail sin to this cross. So Jordan, nail sin to the cross. So let's just take a minute and silently examine our hearts and say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. And I thank you that you took care of all my sin and that you nailed it to the cross. It was nailed to the cross. Let's just take a minute. So go ahead. That's sin. Yeah. You can put it on the ground if you want. Let's just pray. God, thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me, God. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. The second point that I want to examine, I want to talk about, is the fact that we've been redeemed through his blood. We have been bought. We have been paid for. Being redeemed means that Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. Did you guys know that Jesus shed his blood for us on seven different occasions? Separate occasions. Each time he shed the blood had its own significance. And we can claim these significant things in our own spiritual battles. So I'm going to go through those seven things. The first thing, which is very significant to me personally, is that he shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says in the Bible that he cried tears of blood. This blood enables us to overcome internal pressures. For a long time, I've struggled with internal pressure in my own life to the point where I would be thinking a thought. I would think something like terrible, like, oh, like I hate that guy or whatever. And I'd be like, well, no, I don't really hate that guy, but I would just have these like sort of like these fighting thoughts in my head. And I even wrote a poem. I won't recite it for all of your sakes. But I even wrote a poem when I was in grade like 10 that was like called like As I Battle With Myself. And it was like to do with like the internal pressure and like just the fighting that was going on in my own head, like the war field that it was. So I went during the camp and I talked to the guy, Clive, who was a speaker, and I said, Clive, I'm having these thoughts, like crazy thoughts, and I don't know what's up with it. Like, I'll just be like having a good day, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, I hate that guy, or like just like these terrible thoughts will just come into my mind, and I'd be like, oh, like this is bad, like this is affecting my relationships. I can't even like have a conversation without getting mad, like all this stuff, right? And he said, you know, like Jesus' blood was shed for that. And you can claim Jesus' blood over that situation. The second one is that Jesus was whipped. We're healed by his stripes. We can claim healing, both emotionally and physically. I believe that, you know, there's people who have, you know, internal pain, I'm sorry, and there's also things that are like, yeah, emotional, and there's also things that are physical, but I believe that, you know, because of what Jesus did on the cross, those things can be healed. The third thing is a crown of thorns. There was a crown of thorns that was crushed onto Jesus' head. And if you can imagine that, what this represents is it redeems our work. It destroys the thoughts that can drag us down. The fourth thing is his beard was plucked. This redeems our identity. In our world today, there's a lot of factors that, a lot of things that would want to take our identity away. But I know that my identity is in Christ. It's secure in Christ because of his blood, his hands. It redeems our anointing to do things with our hands, our calling. Number six, also with the hands, is gifts that are released. It redeems the gifts that are released to us, to ourselves, and to others through our hands. Number six, his feet. That enables us to go places, right? On Jesus' path. We're able to walk in his purpose. Number seven, his side. He heals our broken heart. When we claim Jesus' blood over our lives, we are engaging in a spiritual battle. We have been bought. Our sins are forgiven, and God wants to challenge us to use the different weapons that he has given us. When God changes us from the inside out, he equips us for war. So I already spoke about the blood and the forgiveness of sins. And now I'm going to call up Michael and Will and Austin, and they're going to tell you one at a time about different gifts of warfare that we're given. Thank you. Michael, go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, the main thing that spoke to me this weekend was about like words spoken out in faith for the strengthening of the church. Like with the words part of things, word in Hebrew is actually the same word for thing in Hebrew, and that like it just speaks of the significance of words and how just how important they are, and just how God spoke all of creation into being using words, and how for us when we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess it with our mouth, with words, that moves us from going to hell, actually, all the way to going to heaven. Like words get us all the way there with faith. Like it's a battle, like these words, and it's a battle that's already been won by Jesus on the cross, and Satan has been overcome. And it's not like he's just been overcome a tiny bit, but he's actually been made a spectacle of. He's been humiliated. And in Jesus, like our solid rock and the source of our faith, like the faith for speaking out, that's where we have our when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. And actually, on one of the sessions at the Timothy Encounter, Bob McGarren actually picked a few people, and he was like, you bring a prophetic word, and you bring a tongue, and you interpret that tongue. And just how we all have a part to play in a service here, and actually, God gives everyone something to give, and how we need to step up to strengthen the church, because without everyone participating, we're not functioning to our full capacity, and just how important that is to really step out in faith, and God will give us things to say. So, yeah, Will.
All right. Hello. All right, I guess I'm speaking on discipleship. When we were at the Timothy Encounter, there was one of the guys there, Robin Mercer. I don't know if you guys know him. He had a word, a prophetic word about Canada. It was he had a picture. He saw a picture of a map of Canada, like a topographical map with all the mountains standing out and stuff. And it was really dry. It was dry as a bone. And it was, he felt that the dryness of it was a spiritual dryness. And in Canada, we have a spiritual dryness. But then he saw sparks coming down, little sparks all over the map, this topographical map coming down and kind of lighting it on fire. And until the entire map was consumed with fire. And there is a dryness in Canada, but there's also like a readiness. There's a readiness for God, for God's word, and for Jesus. And one big way that happens is through discipleship. We're commissioned to disciple people in Scripture. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 says, hang on, it's part of the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so it's in Scripture that we're commissioned to disciple people. And also, when we're discipled for a purpose. And when we disciple people, we disciple them for a purpose. And in Mark 3:14 to 15 says, that's not right. It is Mark 3:14 to 15, though. "He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons." And, yeah, when we're discipled, the purpose is to disciple others. It's Clive Harding, one of the speakers at Timothy, spoke on three generations, how when somebody's discipled, like you're the first generation and you're discipling them, they're the second generation. But when we really see fruit, where it really speaks of fruit, is when they disciple somebody else. They carry that on, it perpetuates. Discipleship isn't something that's meant to end with the person being discipled. They're supposed to disciple somebody else. So they're discipled to disciple. There's another verse in Luke 9:1-2. "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And we're given power to preach and to disciple and to heal the sick and to drive out demons. And we need to pass that on. When we disciple somebody, we pass that on. It's Clive gave the example of soccer in his hometown and how most people are just spectators, and these soccer players play their great game of soccer, but they don't teach anybody how to play soccer. And so when they're done, they're done. There's no one to take their place. So we need to disciple so that there's people to disciple. And there was an example that he used. John Wesley, I believe, had a gift that he would win 1,000 people to Christ every day. And so he gave the example that if you went out and you won one, if you preached and won 1,000 people to Christ every day, every single day of the year, including holidays, it would take you 15,000 years to reach the current population of the earth. But there's another way. If you disciple people so that they carry that on, like if I take 1 year to disciple Oh, choose Jordan again. Jordan, do you want to come up? So if I use 1 year to disciple Jordan, discipled, done. And then both me and Jordan go out and pick somebody else to disciple. So you want to go grab somebody and bring him up here. Look, he's got his hand up. Len, do you want to come up? Okay. Or, there you go. Okay. There's four of us. That's 2 years. And we take one more year, and we go out, each of us, Hammy and Leonard included, and get somebody else. I'm going to get Mr. Ferguson here. Let's go. Let's bring somebody up. Did you get somebody, Jordan? Nice. All right. And now, that's 3 years. And then each of us, after that year, goes out and gets somebody else. So let's all go grab somebody else. We're going to get. I'm going to get somebody from the top row. Conrad Visser. All right. And that's, what is that? Is that five? Or is that four? Is that only 4 years? Okay. We're going to do this one more time. So each of us, after that year, goes out and gets somebody else. I'm going to go to this back area. Stephen. Let's go. All right. Is that five? 5 years?
And how many? And I'm just going to ask you to, in your mind, things may just pop into your mind right now that have been on your heart for years or months or weeks or someone that you know, and they're just always on your heart because you know that they need the Lord. That is probably a vision from God for that person. And if you can right now, just picture in your mind what it looks like, them coming to know the Lord and being saved and being discipled in the things of God and into advancing his kingdom through discipling other people. Just picture that in your mind right now. Have a vision of that. Now you can have faith for that. If that is a vision from God and that is something that God has given you, you can have faith that he will carry that out through you. And you can have solid faith in that because that is a vision from God. And if you don't have a vision or you're not sure if that's from God, keep praying for that. Pray throughout the week. It's time for us as followers of Christ to truly follow his plan instead of ours. And that plan to see the world come to know him. His plan is certainly not, and his purpose is certainly not, that we would just sit and enjoy fellowship and spiritual growth being part of a church. That is great. That is part of what he wants us to be part of. But not only that, his real purpose, his overarching purpose over everything is that the lost would come to know him, that the world would be reached, that the world would be filled with his glory, that all would come to repentance. I challenge you right now to go home and pray to God. Ask him to give you a vision right now for some specific person or specific number of people that he wants you to lead to Christ and disciple in the coming year. He does the real work, but you are the vision-carrying tool that he will use. Ask him for the vision and then act upon it. And to close, for my part, I was praying this week, well, God, what vision have you given me? I believe God's given me vision for all sorts of big things that for the future, but specifically right now, for seeing people come to know Jesus. And there had been a thought in my mind, and God confirmed it last night. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is the vision I want you to carry. For me, it's to see one person come to Christ and me disciple them for a year. So I'm carrying that vision, and I'm praying in faith that that will happen and acting upon it, hopefully. And I'm going to pass on to Neil's going to share with us about intimacy with God.
Thank you, Austin. Good morning. So just to not really tie things in, but a different aspect was intimacy with God, and Clive had spoken on that one night. And how it came about was, after all these talks and the weekend, after coming back, the word intimacy had stood out. I'd heard it somewhere. And so I wrote it down, intimacy. And then we had met last week to go over some things. And when we were praying, one of the guys had prayed and had said intimacy as well. So I thought for myself that this should be shared. So Clive Harding did speak on the intimacy with God, and he based it on the book of Song of Songs. And that book is about a love relationship and wanting intimacy just as God wants intimacy with us, and to enter into that intimate relationship with God. And he had three things, three descriptions, per se, of what intimacy is. And the first was intimacy is for the unlikely. Can be for anyone and for the people. Second, intimacy is unpredictable. Cannot be programmed in and occurs at inconvenient times. You know, you can't, you know, just say to yourself, okay, now I'm going to be intimate with God. We can set times aside to allow that to happen, but for the actual intimacy to occur, again, cannot be programmed. And with that, there's a cost. And when they do come up and in inconvenient times, we need to drop everything because it is for him. And also, he misses our times together when we don't come into those intimate times. And I remembered a little booklet by Robert Munger called My Heart, Christ's Home. And just a small little booklet, and it has different rooms in the house, and it relates to different things in your life. And one of them is the living room, and that relates to your time with God and how God, you know, has a little place and time to meet. And at first, you know, you're really gung-ho and you really want to meet with God, and you meet with him on a daily basis. But then as time goes along, things get in our way or we become busy. And slowly by slowly, you're missing, you know, time here, and adds up to days and other times like that. And kind of feel guilty about that. But with that, God is always there. He's always waiting for us. And we just have to make that effort to meet with him. And the third thing is intimacy is unbeatable. There's nothing else better. And again, when we do not have that intimate relationship with God, we miss out as well. And one final point is to not judge your quiet time with God, whether you know you may get something out of it or not, but just keep on having them. So just want to encourage everyone, including myself, is to just have those times with God. And just to wrap things up, Len will come back up and finish off here.
Thanks, Neil. That's great. I think I put all my notes down there. So we've heard from God today. We've heard that he has a plan for our lives, that he loves us, and his plan for us is good. And we've heard that he's forgiven our sins and he's redeemed us by his blood. And he's given us different tools as weapons. And we've heard that he wants to change us from the inside out. My challenge to you is, how does God want to change you today? I want you guys all to ask yourselves, how does God want to change me so that I can be used by him? What is God's vision for my life? How does God want me to stand up for Canada? And we've heard that God wants to have a relationship with us. I wonder if there's anybody here who, we've heard all these good things about God, and I wonder if there's anybody here who wants to have that relationship with him. Because it's the best choice you'll ever make. And it's simple. It's just a matter of believing what he's done for you, and professing it, saying, God, I believe in you. and I believe in what you've done. Thank you for forgiving my sins and accepting his forgiveness and accepting eternal life. I wonder if there's anybody here who feels that way and wants to stand up right now. Safe environment, if you want to, if anybody's here. Okay, great. I also wonder if there's anybody here who wants to make a change. This is a separate thing. There's people who want to make a change in Canada. I believe that, you know, we're called. We're called not just to be a people who live good lives and live for ourselves, but also a people who stand up for what is right in our country. And I'm wondering if there are people here, Canadians, who will stand with me now, literally, for Canada. If you want to stand for Canada, please stand now. Let's pray together. Dear God, we're a people who want to be changed by you. We're a people who want to be changed and molded into your purpose, God, for your purpose, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan for each one of our lives, God, and you have a vision for each one of our lives, God. And Lord, I pray that each of us would have a vision for Canada and a vision for our own lives, Lord, that it's about you, Lord, and about glorifying you. I pray that we would come to a realization of your blood, Lord, and what that means for us and what that means for Canadians, Lord. And I pray that you would enable us to stand and to stand firm. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us just come and share what was on our hearts. We really appreciate it. Thank you.